It's Thursday, time again for Foodstuffs, our look at New Hampshire food. Among the questions New Hampshire food producers and farmers are looking at these days is how they might be affected by a changing climate and what they might do about it. Those topics are on the agenda for this weekend's winter conference of the Northeast Organic Farming Association of New Hampshire. One of the conference's keynote speakers is Gary Paul Nabham. He's director of the Center for Sustainable Environments at Northern Arizona University and author of several books, including Growing Food in a Hotter, Drier Land. He joins me now with more. Gary, welcome to All Things Considered.
Well, I'm grateful to be with you, and it's a great time to talk about these issues in America.
When you make recommendations to farmers about dealing with a changing climate, where do you start? What's the first thing that a farmer might need to do as climate starts to change?
I think farmers are great observers of weather, and they've known where storms of different kinds or droughts or winds or heat have damaged their crops and orchard trees before. And I think making a map of that and sort of doing a vulnerability assessment is a terrific thing. If you've had a flood on your property, do you have an escape route? Do you have drainage in your lowest field? If you've had heat wave on your place, are there any things that you can do that would give your crops a little more protection from the hottest sun in the summer and heat? So doing a vulnerability assessment is a great way to take your own knowledge and map it onto your own farm and see, well, here's some places I need to shore up.
Does there come a point then if, for example, you start to see longer stretches of days where the temperature is over 100 degrees, do farmers start to have to say, maybe I won't be able to plant as much of a particular crop as I used to, or not at all, or start to rethink some of those very base elemental pieces of their operations?
That's right. Because certain crops, such as green bean crops, have heat thresholds for adequate pollination and fertilization of the seeds, farmers may have to shift varieties. It's recommended that orchard crop keepers keep open the possibility that they switch to fruit trees that require less chill hours in the winter. So we need to think 20 to 30 years out with this. And that may be difficult for some farmers to imagine switching apple varieties down the road, but it may be ultimately necessary. But the main thing is we're dealing with climate uncertainty, not just a trend towards a single condition like hot and dry. It takes not just thinking about variety, but the place in your orchard or field and the time of the potential catastrophic event in relation to the age of your plants.
With that concern about catastrophic events, what effect could that potentially have on the effort to try and create more small, locally based farms? Is it possible then that after several years of catastrophic storms taking away potential income, that small farmers are not necessarily going to see a future?
We do have concerns that small, say, sugar bush managers that are getting maple syrup off their farms are seeing reduced flows, some of their plants dying for one stress or another. And if you're relying on maple syrup as an income as well as tree crops, it may be tougher for you because you don't have the economic slack that bigger, better supported large farms do. The good news is small and medium scale farmers have the capacity to leverage their operations more rapidly and change to a carbon neutral kind of farming. So actually small farms and medium sized farms are already part of the solution to slowing global climate change. And it's harder to turn a big cruise ship around if you're a 1,000-acre farm in Iowa than it is to sequester carbon and reduce your fossil fuel use and make your farm more resilient on a 5 to 400-acre farm in New England. So your farmers are already part of the solutions that are emerging to climate change.
Another one of the trends that we've seen with small operations in this region is collaborating through food hubs or farm-to-table initiatives. And you've written about some ideas that say large cities could take compost that could be brought into farms in rural areas, and then that could be used to help ameliorate some of the effects that come with climate change.
That's right. And you have some great composting operations in New Hampshire and Vermont that are exemplary. I just visited the Highland Center for Composting And they're already doing worm composting and conventional composting, getting this back on farms and ranches, and they're getting sources of compostable materials from a variety of urban and rural sources. And so now a lot of the colleges in New England are not just getting local produce brought to them by farmers within their county, but they're sending those trucks back home with compostable materials that they can compost on the farm. There's some really great solutions emerging through urban-rural partnerships, and I think you have the right scale for that here in New England.
Gary Paul Napham, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks again.
You can find more information about Gary's talk at the NOFA New Hampshire Conference this weekend. It's at the Foodstuffs blog at nhpr.org.